الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله جعل لكم من بيوتكم سكنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. A few days ago I was actually watching some kids and they were playing tag. So when they decided that they were going to play tag, the first thing that they did was they made the boundaries. And they said, you can go on this part, you can, this will be the boundaries. If you go beyond this line, then you're, that's cheating. You can't go beyond this area. They set four boundaries. Then the next thing that they did was they set a safety area. So they said that if you're in this safety area, then no one can tag you. You can't be it. You can't make somebody it in that safety area. And then they started playing. And every time someone felt like they were almost about to be tagged, they would run back to the safety area, and then they would seek protection in that safety area. Now, those were kids. And kids, they establish a safety area as part of their game, but we do that in so many other aspects of our life as well. It's actually part of human nature. For example, we have a work week, right? Now, we work how many days? We work out of 7 days a week, we work 5 days a week, and then you have the weekend. So the weekend is that safety net that takes you away from work. Similarly, in our school year, so when we go to school, we know that we have a school year, and then we have a break. We have a summer break, winter break, spring break, and those are our safety nets. Those are the times that we use to recharge ourselves. Those are the times that we use to look forward to the difficult, in the times of difficulty, we look forward to those times of ease. So there's always this aspect of some place of refuge that exists in various parts of our life. And you'll see it exists so many places. These are just a few examples. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created a place of refuge for us within our homes. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, and it's the ayah that I read in the very beginning from An-Nahl, that وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for you in your homes a place of tranquility, a place of peace. In fact, it can be seen as a place of refuge. Now, the way you have to understand this is that the whole world is a game of tag. The entire world is a place of trial and tribulation, and that safety, like the kids set up that safety, the safety in our game of tag, which we call life, is actually in our homes. So that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a place of tranquility, of peace, of refuge, of growth, of development. It should be relatively worry-free compared to the rest of the world. Now, in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted that concept. But actually, if you go through the remainder of the deen, you'll see that this concept is highlighted in many, many places. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He made our homes sakana, a place of peace, a place of tranquility, it has different implications, according to the ulama. So first and foremost, it means that our homes are a place of peace. Now, what does that mean? It means that from all the fierce battling that occurs outside of our homes, for example, arguments, distractions, disruptions, those things shouldn't exist within the home. Now, you see that when you're outside, there's all these difficulties that exist. You can argue with someone, someone can get upset at you, you can get upset at them. These are the things that exist outside of the home. But within the home, there should be an aspect of peace and tranquility, meaning the relationships between the family members should be such that they become, or they result in peace and tranquility. In fact, this is the statement, right, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our families and our children the coolness of our eyes, right? The coolness of our eyes, this is what's meant by that. Similarly, if you go further, the word sakana also applies to, so that was peace, then it applies to tranquility. So what it means is that from the busyness of the world, now you go outside in the world, it's so busy. People going here, people coming there, everything, you have 1,000 things on your mind when you're outside of the house. But then when you come inside of the house, it should be a place of tranquility, a place that you can focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third meaning that's derived from this is safety. Meaning, in a world in which there is so much kufr, our homes should actually be a place of the seclusion of iman. the peace and tranquility and the safety of iman. So these are the three things that are implied. Now, unfortunately, in this day and age, each of these is being stripped from our homes. Each of these aspects is being stripped from our homes. For example, peace was supposed to exist within the home. Out of all of the places where fights were and arguments were supposed to erupt, the last place it should have erupted was in the home. Because the home is sakinah. It's a place of peace. Instead, the place where the most arguments occur in our lives are at home. We argue with one another at home. Wives argue with husbands. Husbands argue with wives. Kids argue with parents. Parents argue with kids. In-laws argue with daughter-in-law, etc. All of that occurs within the home. And then people are leaving the home in order to try to find peace outside of the home. And outside of the home, you're going to find kufr. You might find peace, but then it's always mixed with some kufr. So that becomes a problem. Similarly, we were supposed to find tranquility within our home. It was supposed to be that the outside world was busy, that so many things were coming and going, and the phone calls and the pagers and all these things were supposed to be outside of the home. We brought them all inside the home. Now the phone is constantly ringing. The pager is constantly going off. The computer is constantly beeping. All of these things that were supposed to exist outside, that busyness, so that we could have had tranquility in the home, so that we could focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we brought those in our home. And then the third thing was that it was supposed to be a place of safety. The house was supposed to be a place of safety of what? Our iman. Especially in this environment, when outside is so much kufr and so much disbelief and so many things against the sharia, the place where we were supposed to be able to live according to the sharia was within our own homes. And instead of creating an environment of Islam, we've imported the environment of kufr. So what do? We bring TVs into our home. All of the outside world brought in one piece of glass. We bring the internet into our homes, right? We bring all of these means of collecting the outside world, the newspaper, the TV, the news, the internet, and we bring it all into the home, we import it, and then we destroy the aspect of home within Islam. That the home is there, but that sukoon, sakana, begins to lack. So these were the three things that were supposed to be within their homes, and actually these three things are becoming slowly erased. Now, the reason or the means of this, actually it's a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The loss of this peace and tranquility and safety within the home is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure and our lack of following the sharia as regards to what should occur within the home. And the proof of this actually comes, this happens because of a couple reasons. One, the Prophet ﷺ gave us some incredible advice about the home, and we leave it. In fact, we don't even know it. Forget about leaving it. One thing is that you know it and you leave it. We don't even study it. We don't know how to make our homes a place of peace. So that's the first problem. And all of that, the lack of the sunnah, the lack of the sharia, the lack of trying to inculcate peace within the home, ends up resulting in this punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where the sukoon is removed. Now, you could say, how do you know it's a punishment? Well, if you go through the Quran, then you find that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the punishment of Banu Nadir, the tribe of Jews that lived in Medina at the time of the Prophet, they were seized by the Sahaba at one point, and then they were removed from their homes. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He discusses their punishment, and listen to this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, هُوَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who caused the people who disbelieved from the people of the book to be extracted from their homes. The awwal al-hashr, with that first surrounding. يُخْرِبُونَ بِأَيْدِ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in that ayah. Until finally he concludes by saying, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيَهِمْ They destroyed their own homes with their own hands, وَأَيْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And eventually then the hands of the mu'mineen came to finish them off. فَاعْتَبِرُوا Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, pay careful attention. يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ O people of vision, people of understanding. Now in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting that among the punishments that occurred on this group of people is that they were extracted from their homes. They lost the concept of sukoon in two ways. One, بِأَيْدِيَهِمْ With their own hands. And then eventually, because they destroyed themselves internally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the mu'mineen to finish them off and to cause them to be extracted from their physical homes.
So all of this lack of sukoon is actually a sign of our leaving the Sharia when it comes to issues that arise within the home. Now, understanding the issues of the home, and actually all this boils down to something called the adab of the home, the etiquettes of the home. And all of this ties into learning the etiquettes. Now, the etiquettes, they vary tremendously. They start at picking a proper spouse, for example. A home is formed when you pick a spouse. When you pick a wife or you pick a husband, when you're searching for a wife or a husband, that's the basis of the home. That's the very beginning of the etiquettes of creating a home. If you don't pick a proper spouse, the home is going to be destroyed from the beginning. And in fact, you'll find throughout the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ discusses the adab of picking a spouse. Many, many hadith exist concerning this issue. Similarly, once you have a spouse, then you have to worry about the adab of purchasing a home, the adab of establishing a home, the adab of bringing barakah into the home, the adab of teaching Islam within the home, the adab of praying within the home, the adab of the dhikr of Allah within the home, what you should recite from the Quran within the home, how you should treat one another, the relationships that exist within the home. All of these are adab. And all of these need to be taught because it's these adab that the Prophet ﷺ established, and then those adab subsequently bring in the sukoon. It just doesn't show up. There are things we should be doing that bring barakah into the home, that allow it to become a place of peace, tranquility, and safety. And there are things that we should not be doing that we bring into the home that destroy that environment of peace, tranquility, and safety. Now, what I wanted to do is that over the next few meetings, maybe 5 to 10 next meetings, I want to discuss these adab. So right now I'm just laying down the foundation. And I've mentioned this to you before, that one of the things I've noticed is that within us, we lack a lot of adab. Adab in particular issues, and one of this issue is particularly important because it teaches you a lot about how to create a peaceful area for you in your deen. So over the next set of meetings, we're going to talk about these issues. Now there's a bunch of reasons why it's extremely important, why this topic is essential. The first and foremost is because actually preservation of our home is equivalent to preservation of our deen. Preservation of our home is equivalent to preservation of our deen, especially in the West. Now, the reality of the situation is that the place that we control in this world, the only place that we control is our homes. You're not going to go outside and change the world. We have this false notion that we grow up on from Sunday school and from these other meetings and conferences that we're going to change the whole world. It might happen, and Allah might choose a group of people to do that, but the reality and the probability is extremely low. So we don't live in these sort of fantasies where we're just going to automatically change the whole world and the whole world will become Islam. No. Actually, our world is our home. It's the one area in the world that we control. We can't control the block, we can't control the city, we can't control the state, but we can't control our home. What we bring into our home, what we create within our home, what we establish within our home, that's in our control. It's that small area where we have the opportunity to establish Islam and bring in the subsequent barakah that comes through the establishment of Islam. So that's the first thing. Now, our home is our khanaqah. People say, oh, we need a khanaqah, we need a madrasa, we need this. Actually, the truth of the matter is that those things are all secondary. It all starts in the home. If you have a khanaqah in your home, you don't need any khanaqah outside. Yeah, you need to find a sheikh, spend time in the company of that sheikh, and it will exist outside. Obviously, that won't exist within your home. But in essence, if you can establish a khanaqah within your home, 80% of the work is done. Similarly, we talk so much about establishing madaris. The truth of the matter is that the best madrasa is the madrasa you establish in your home. That's where it starts. Then you can talk about going out and gaining knowledge and doing all these other things. If there's no Islamic environment in the home, and you go out and you gain all this knowledge, and then you come back home and it gets destroyed, what's the benefit? I was just sitting with Sheikh Zulfiqar just last time he was here, a few weeks ago, and a man actually came and asked him that I want to send my son to the madrasa to learn Quran, but I myself am a hafiz. So should I send him or should I teach him myself? And Sheikh Zulfiqar, without even thinking, said, you should teach him yourself. Because in your own home, you even have more control and you can even make a better environment that exists in most madaris. Why? Because you're in total control. Now, when you go to a madrasa, there's going to be good kids, there's going to be bad kids. I mean, these are part of life, right? That's just the part of the way the world works. But in your own home, you control everything. So if we can create a proper environment within the home, that's where the most benefit can occur. So that's the first reason why etiquettes of the home are important, because preservation of the home equals preservation of the deen. It's our land upon which we have control. That's the first. The second is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to save our household from the hellfire. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and save your families from the fire. And the way that's going to happen is in the home. We have to educate ourselves, we have to educate our families, and we have to create an environment of Jannah within the home. If that exists within the home, then you begin to save your family from the hellfire. But if you create hellfire in your home, then your family lives in hell in this life, in this busyness, what is almost like a hell, and then eventually in the hereafter. So that's the second important reason. Third is because the Prophet ﷺ told us that we will be asked about our homes, about our household. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّكُمْ رَائِنْ Each of you is a shepherd. وَمَسُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ And each of you will be asked about your flock. And then the Prophet ﷺ listed some people. For example, the Imam will be asked about his followers. And then the Prophet ﷺ continued and he said, وَالرَّجُلْ And the man, فِي أَهْلِهِ رَائِنْ Is for his family a shepherd. And he will be asked about his household. And then he said concerning the woman that the woman is a shepherd of her home. And that she will also be asked about her household. So it tells you right here that not only number one, does it preserve our deen, our household. Number two, is it a command from Allah to protect our family. But number three, we will be asked on the Day of Judgment how we established our household, how we ran the relationship within our household, and how we trained the people within our household, including ourselves. So that's the third reason. The fourth reason is that it is our fortress. The home is our fortress. And again, I mentioned this previously, we don't have control over anything outside. We like to think we're going to change the city, we're going to change the state, we're going to change the country, we're going to change the people. It's not the reality. The reality is we're being changed because of our interactions. And that's part of life. But the only way to preserve what exists within us is that we create this fortress within our home. That's the only way to preserve what's within us. Now, in fact, the Prophet ﷺ stated it in a very beautiful hadith in the book of Imam At-Tabari. In that book, the Prophet ﷺ said that the safety of a man at the time of fitna is found in his home. Listen to the advice that the Prophet ﷺ is giving in this hadith, because this is exactly the time we live in. At the time of fitna, where can you seek protection? Now, in this time when there's so much confusion, not only are the people outside attacking Islam, within Islam, the Muslims are attacking one another. There's that much fitna that you can't even... People wake up in the morning with iman and they go to sleep without iman. So imagine that in this time of fitna, the Prophet ﷺ is giving us advice, and what does he tell us? He tells us that the safety for at this time, the place, the fortress, is the home. So if we allow the home to be destroyed internally, we lost the one fort that we had remaining. Obviously, the masjid has its place. It will always remain a fort. But I'll tell you right now, even the masajid in this day and age are becoming places of fitna in the sense that the people who are running the masjids have begun to disregard the sharia. Right? You begin to see these things like women leading the prayer, right? Or women giving talks in front of men in the masjid. The removal of the separation of males and females within the masjid. These are all signs of fitna. It's afflicting the masjid itself. So really, to tell you the truth, the only place that we have control is the home. So if we don't know the etiquettes and the adab and the things that we should be doing in the home, then how will we be able to protect our own fort? That last place of refuge where we could hide, how will we protect it? And so that's why, inshallah, over the next series of Fridays, we're going to discuss these issues in detail, like choosing a spouse, because that's where the household is formed. Manners that should exist when you interact with one another within the household, because that's what brings in the love and barakah within the household. Similarly, how we should pray at home, the importance of reading Quran at home, the ayat that we should read within the home, all of the different aspects that exist to going to making the home a true place of peace, tranquility, and a fortress of our deen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are able to establish their homes as a fortress. And may He make us among those who find peace and tranquility within our homes. And may He make us among those who are able to establish the deen within the homes so that we can subsequently become among those who share this deen to other homes.
وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.